Hello and welcome to episode 5 of To Be Announced. We apologize for our extended absence. Jackie and I had we had some confusion as far as our personal affairs go, as far as flights and weather and school.
Yeah, it's been a hell of a week. Feels like it's been like a day.
It's been the 2 weeks. Just really feel these last 2 weeks. I feel like maybe is it 2 weeks? Has it been 3 weeks? Has it been a month? Who really knows? It's just kind of been a blur. But you know, Super Bowl weekend was there, caught in the middle, and it as much of it may have taken off my life. It was a fun weekend.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. Didn't get down there till Saturday. Shout out to Delta. Didn't get me down there until Saturday when they said they would get me down there on Thursday, but it's all good. We worked it out. We got a little voucher system going for Jackie. So now I'm going to be taking a free flight somewhere. But I had fun. I had a great time. Can't wait to do it again.
We finally broke the curse of Super Bowl Dog Weekend. It was a beautiful time in Stark Vegas. Had three baseball games that were fun for the most part. Great weather, great times had by all. It was a good weekend. It's been a while since we've had a Super Bowl weekend that actually was fruitful on the behalf of baseball, at least. So it was nice to see that change for once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good, especially winning a series against Kentucky. I mean, they're the best of the SEC right now. We're right up there with them. So that's a real good win. Great to see that.
Definitely a feel-good weekend as far as Mississippi State goes. Saw some good things on the football front as well at the spring game, but that's a different story for a different day. Team Keaton over here, but we'll talk about that later, closer to football season. It's everyone's favorite spring playoff season. NBA, NHL action in full force now. We're in just the beginning of the first rounds. I'm not a huge hockey guy. Are you, Jack?
I follow it some. My team, the Tampa Bay Lightning, are not in there this year, but picked up on the Nashville Predators, which they're off to a great start. So happy about that. Happy to be watching hockey when it's like 80 degrees outside. It always makes me feel better about myself.
Yeah, I can't even say I have my own team. I really just kind of claim the Florida Panthers because I think they have a cool logo and Florida people yep. choose Florida things. So I just kind of rode with that for a while, but I don't even know if they're good. Honestly, I couldn't even name a player on their team. So I just kind of claim them there. I'm just like you, kind of following the Preds this year, because I enjoy seeing my friends be happy come playoff season. Because I never get to be happy come playoff season for anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but hockey I can root for pretty much any team, football or baseball. It's pretty cutthroat, but hockey I'll be a lot nicer to my friends.
Yeah, and I'm not even a hockey guy, but I do know that hating the Blackhawks is a commonality that most people can get behind.
Yeah, seriously.
So I'm just going to ride with that one for a while. Only thing I do know as far as the NHL storyline is this the Caps year? I've heard it many a times from my few friends that I have from the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. Caps year, I feel like it's been every year for as long as ESPN's been around, at least. And I saw a fun stat on television the other day. Alex Ovechkin has never gotten out of the Eastern Conference in the playoffs. I thought he was supposed to be like the best hockey player in hockey right now.
I don't know. I can't give much hockey analysis, but the dude's a freak. It's a big year for Russians in DC, as a lot of people have said. So hopefully this will be his year. I mean, Russians have overrun DC, and Alex Ovechkin is the only Russian I know personally. So I hope he does good. I kind of hope they win.
Yeah, it'd be a big time in sports for people winning that haven't won in a long time, and except for the Patriots and the Tar Heels. But well, I guess it's really just as far as the Cubs and the Caps go. Oh well, NBA. Everybody knows a little bit more about NBA because this is America, and we don't know too much about hockey. Who do you love and who do you hate in the NBA playoffs this year, Jack?
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that I love the Cavs because they have somebody named LeBron James on their team. I think he's pretty good. I also think that the Warriors are really good because they have Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. and pretty much everybody else in the whole world who's good at basketball. Yeah, I think those two will be it. You got somebody else in your finals, don't you?
Yeah, I'm going off the beaten path, and I'm going with the Spurs. One, because I think they're the greatest basketball team ever assembled. Screw the Warriors. I have put it on the record. I have never plan on being a Steph Curry guy. I just don't see anything for him. I think he's a one-dimensional basketball player that I don't think would have been successful in many other eras of basketball. I don't like him. Don't like his obnoxious daughter in press conferences. Yeah, I don't like fun either, so you can say that. But
I don't like mouth guard.
I hate that he chews on his mouth guard way too aggressively. One, I want to know the actual functionality of a mouth guard as far as basketball goes. I know it gets contact sometimes, but is a mouth guard truly necessary? Are you guys grinding your teeth that hard that you need something in between them?
He's got to have that mouth guard for when he shoots all the threes. That's when you get hit in the face a bunch when you're pulling up from like 45 feet. That's everybody knows that, Evan. Come on.
Oh, sorry. I guess that's why I'm not affiliated with any NBA anything. I'm going to go Spurs, Cavs for my pick. It's hard to pick anybody else out of the East because everybody in the East is trash. Everybody knows it. The Celtics even opened up their series with the loss against the Bulls, which I am $10 devastated about. Almost had a very nice day today as far as my my picks went. That was not one of the ones that went my way. So, you know, I was really expecting something out of Isaiah Thomas in the postseason, but it just doesn't look like it's going to be that way. So, he can't do it by himself, granted, but and there's really not much else on that team other than him. But, you know, we'll check back in what, a month and a half when we get to the finals?
Yeah, pretty much a month and a half till they play their next game.
That is absurd to me. The fact that your playoffs are starting now and your finals aren't for another month and a half, it's too long. Too long, Adam Silver, too long. But,
yeah.
Oh, well. Into what you probably came here for, it's been a while since we've talked any SEC baseball. We're sorry. We're sorry. This is our formal apology, but we're back at it. We don't plan on abandoning you anytime soon like we did, because that was mean and you didn't need that. Recapping where the Dogs have been since we last spoke before Super Bowl weekend, Dogs are 6-3 since the last time we spoke, which includes the two FIU games, which happy we took the two. Jack and I did not feel good going into that series.
Mm-hmm. Not at all. So, I did not like the Tuesday result or the Wednesday game, but thank God we got out of there alive. Just I'm cool with a split. Whenever you split a weekend or a weekday series with a team like FIU, you got to be pleased with that, especially with how our pitching's been.
Yeah, we've followed that up with two SEC series wins against two incredible teams, I would say, this as far as all things considered this so far this year, in Kentucky last weekend and taking two from South Carolina this weekend in Columbia. So that is huge with the capital Y.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
Brent Rooker's batting it.
What's that?
Brent Rooker, I was just going to run down his stats. Brent Rooker is hitting a 432 with 16 home runs, and here's a little off-the-cuff stat, 15 for 19 on stolen bases.
Not bad. Not bad for Brent.
How anyone can consider anyone other than him National Player of the Year, I want to hear a very convincing argument, because it's going to take a lot.
Yeah, I mean, he's running away in every category.
Absolutely.
Pitchers are going to stop pitching to him, so his on-base percentage is going to go from, like, what is it now, like 530 something?
Yeah, his on-base percentage is 532 at this point.
So that's going to go up to like 560 by the end of the season, which is going to be absurd. He's going to win the SEC Triple Crown. He's going to might win the National Triple Crown. It's going to be a crazy year. He's submitted himself as a first-round pick. He made himself a ton of money. He's a millionaire. Real smart move not signing out of the draft last year and holding out, waiting for more money to come his way. And thank God he did, because without him, I don't know where we'd be.
Yeah, this baseball team would be drastically different without him right now. He is either first right now or tied for first in 10 statistical categories in the SEC alone. That, ladies and gents, is absurd.
Is
it? I just don't know if there's any other way for me to explain that, but that's good. That's good, I think.
Yeah. His numbers are better than Hunter Renfro's numbers already. And Hunter Renfro had a crazy year. So it's like we're only in April. Like, he's still got two more months left in the season.
Yeah, we're officially at the halfway point of the SEC season. So he's got a lot of ball to still play. So I'm excited, to say the least.
Yeah, I loved watching him this weekend. He's getting the Barry Bonds treatment now, which Barry Bonds, the best hitter of all time, he's getting the same treatment as him. He just took a intentional walk with the bases loaded. One run's better than four. People are finally figuring out, hey.
The fact that you have to make that conscious decision, okay, do I want to hurt myself a little or a lot? That's one of the more enjoyable things of seeing a pitcher squirm. That's, I mean, there's no good way to.
He's making the scouts love that, because it's like, oh my, this guy's scary. This guy's a really scary dude up there.
There's nothing like knowing, as Brent Rooker, knowing that pitchers are, they're shook as soon as you walk up to the plate.
Yeah, I was listening to the game today, and South Carolina's pitcher, they started on Friday, Clark Schmidt, was talking about how he was looking at him when he was on deck, he was pitching against Mangum, and he was looking at Rooker while he was on deck, and already started focusing on Rooker. That's the best thing that you could hear if you're Mangum, because nobody's going to focus on you as much, even though you're a great hitter in your own right, probably going to be a top five round pick this year. If they're focusing on the guy behind you, they're not going to focus on you. So that means you got a better chance of hitting the ball.
Yeah, it blows my mind that he's having the season, and I feel like we're not appreciating it. So everyone, this is your wake-up call. Appreciate this man, because we are not guaranteed too much time left with him.
We have two more months.
Yeah, he is dipping right out of Stark Vegas and taking every piece of money he can find on the way to the majors. So in moving on from Brent Rooker talk, as much fun as it is, then the rest of the SEC, obviously we took two from South Carolina this weekend. That's a big plus for us, keeping us at the top of the SEC. Moving on to the rest of the SEC, though, A&M swept Alabama this weekend. Alabama having a tough time this season. Thank goodness right now, though, that they're finding the struggles, because they're coming here this weekend. And I would not enjoy many more things other than taking three easy wins this weekend.
Yeah, I think we're going to sweep them. No game in the SEC, it's true what they say, is like an easy win, especially this year. I think the SEC is deeper than it's been like in a long time, baseball-wise. Yeah, it's Alabama's okay, but we're head and shoulders better than them, and we're playing a lot better than them right now, so I'm pretty confident we can sweep.
Yeah, so that would be big for us. So A&M keeps rolling on that path. It's kind of funny to see A&M, they're kind of struggling. They beat the people they're supposed to, and then they just get clobbered by the people that they could compete with to move themselves into that next level of baseball teams. And they just get clobbered by them. So I think A&M is going to, contrary to previous years where they've seen pretty solid success in their baseball program, looks like maybe a down year in College Station.
Yeah, slightly. They don't have the pitching this year. They don't have no experience. Last year's team was really good, and they lost a bunch. Kind of like our team, but we bounced back a lot better than them. Thank God for Brent Rooker again.
Moving around, Auburn took two from Tennessee this weekend. That's kind of an interesting series. Tennessee won the game two. This series is in Knoxville, so as far as RPI implications, it's good to see a team that we beat or swept in Tennessee getting a win against Auburn, but Auburn really thumped them the other two games.
Yeah, they really should have won on the Friday night too, because they played Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Friday they had Keegan Thompson going, who he's probably the SEC pitcher of the year, if I'd say. But yeah, their bullpen blew it, so I knew Coach Thompson had to have been pissed about that one. But thank God, because we need the RPI help if we're trying to get a national seed, which we still have plenty of time to do.
Yeah, I would say national seeds kind of – I would keep those hopes on the back burner. I did see Kendall Rogers said if the season was – Kendall Rogers is of D1 baseball, for those of you listeners that may not know. He's probably one of the more respected authorities as far as college baseball knowledge goes. But he tweeted that if the season were to end today, State would be more than guaranteed a regional at this point. He did not say national seed, though. So.
No, national seed. Top eight, but...
Yeah, we're... We're going to have to be pretty decisive over these next five series and then do very well in the tournament to get to that next level of top national seeds. I'd be happy with hosting a regional, though. I mean, really.
Yeah, you host a regional, and all you need is for whoever is hosting the regional you're paired with to lose. Then you're hosting the super regional, so... Exactly. I'll be cool hosting a regional. Puts us in a good position.
Yeah. Next series, you had Arkansas sweeping Georgia to stay in first place. Arkansas looking nice still this season. I guess, good we played them early on in the season to get them out of the way, but it's a damn shame we did not take one game from them.
Yeah, we didn't know how good they were when we played them. They're great. They're absolutely crushing teams. They're probably the best team in the SEC right now. They're very scary. Two of the best pitchers in the SEC, like four power bats with like 8+ home runs in that lineup. They're legit. They're a very, very good team.
Yeah, that sweep against them is going to haunt us coming into the season. I can feel it as far as trying to finish it first or a high seed in the tournament. But looking at the rest of their schedule, though, because right here at the midpoint of the season, we've got five SEC series left, so trying to jockey for some position in standings. Arkansas is in current first amongst the entire SEC, first in the West as well. But the next five, including a fun midweek series they have this week, two games against Memphis. Memphis team that pretty high in RPI, aren't they?
Yeah, they're not bad. They're not bad for sure.
Yeah, they took a couple games from Ole Miss so far this season. We put a pretty good showing against them. If Arkansas can drop a game against Memphis, that would be nice. That's always the thing with RPIs. You know, you beat a team and you beat one team, but and then you lose to another. So when the team you beat loses to or beats the team that you lost to, it's a weird cycle.
Yeah, I don't know. You can only worry about yourself, I guess. I'd be cool with let's say if Arkansas's losses for whenever they play an SEC opponent, I'll be cool with them beating up on Memphis. That's cool by me. Just lose a few SEC games, they can overtake you in the standings.
Yeah, as far as their SEC series go, they're at Auburn this weekend, then they host Ole Miss, then at Tennessee, to Vanderbilt, and then at A&M. That's not an easy schedule.
Love that that game this weekend against Auburn.
That series against Auburn is going to be big.
It's great pitching and great hitting. They're Auburn's second right now in the SEC standings, tied with us.
Yeah,
only a game back from Arkansas. Kentucky. So it's going to
be interesting. Us Kentucky and Auburn are tied all for second with. We have 10-5 records, in the standings. So it really just seeing either one of those teams take, because I mean, obviously someone's going to take a loss there. Either one is going to be nice to help us. You know, we can only hope for what we can hope for. So LSU took two from Ole Miss, beat the absolute crap out of them on Thursday, beat them 15-2.
It's always good to see.
Yeah, they really did not hold back on that one. LSU or Ole Miss did come back on the Friday game, took that one, but lost again on game three. So Ole Miss stumbling around the rest of the season. I don't see them making it into postseason play without a large SEC tournament showing.
I don't think so.
So that's always a fun thing to remind yourself of every week. Florida won 2 against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is not being themselves this year, and it kind of weirds me out because it's kind of changing the whole landscape of things in the SEC. Usually we can rely on somebody to beat up some people in the East, but now it's just the West teams beating the people in the East, and then you got Kentucky just sitting up top by themselves. But Florida won 2 at Vanderbilt. They won their 2 games that they did win as a combined score of 30-14, and that's game 1 and 3. And then game 2, they lost 2-0. So that's an interesting back and forth.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Vanderbilt's pitching has been really, really trash this year, to say the least. They had one good start this weekend. The 2-1 victory they had, but I mean, they lost 20-8 in one game. That's terrible. It's horrible.
Yeah, that's allowing 20 runs, some might say, is not a good look.
Not at all, some would say.
Yeah, and then Kentucky rounding out the weekend, they beat Mizzou twice. Staying on top of the SEC East. Mizzou, I'm sorry for misleading everyone and thinking they were good. They're not. Last, looking at Kentucky, the rest of their schedule moving forward, their last 5 series involves hosting LSU at South Carolina, Georgia, that's going to be 3 easy wins, Tennessee at home, and then at Florida. So they have a very rough second half of the season as well.
Yeah, these next 2 weekends will be pretty big on if they can hit like actual pitching, because LSU's got 2 guys that'll be playing in the major leagues one day. South Carolina, we just watched them. They have 3 guys who are going to be pitching in the major leagues going in their rotation. So it'll be interesting to see if that offense can keep up with the pitching, because they weren't able to do it against us, and we do not have the pitching of South Carolina and LSU.
Yeah, so I mean, it's nice to see that our 2 main competitors, as far as trying to stay atop the SEC, it's nice to see that they have the rough schedules that they have left, because looking as far as standings are going for the rest of, right now at the midpoint of the season, you got Kentucky sitting up top in the East. Arkansas is up top in the West. But overall, you've got Arkansas is number 1, 11-4. Man, there's three losses or 3 wins against that they have against us. They're holding on to those like treasure chests. Us, Auburn, and Kentucky all 10-5. LSU's 9-6, so they're not anywhere off. Then you've got Florida, South Carolina, and LSU or A&M at 8-7. Excuse me, cannot read today. Ole Miss, Mizzou, Vanderbilt 7-8. Tennessee 4-11, a very good 4-11 in the conference, I would say.
That's real solid.
That is a tail of the tape kind of look right there. It's not a good number, but they're a better team than that, and it's kind of disappointing to see that they only have 4 wins. I definitely thought they had more.
They're the best 4-11 team in this conference, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, it's true. They're overall in the season is 18-15. They're looking at maybe having one of the best 500 seasons I've ever seen.
Yeah, got to beat up on those non-conferences.
Oh yeah. Alabama's bringing up the rear of the conference at 2-13 on the season in conference play. So, you know, I do remember they just built a brand new baseball stadium in Tuscaloosa. So it's nice that they can break it in very nice with a exciting first season.
Yeah, that's I don't really care about stuff that goes on in Tuscaloosa. I'm kind of happy that they had to spend all that money, open up a brand new stadium, and then see their team finish last in the SEC. So I'm cool with that, and I can't wait to sweep them this weekend. That's going to be, you know, a highlight of my weekend.
I'm really counting on that one. Even looking as far as the rest of our schedule goes, I'm not worried about the rest of our schedule with Alabama this weekend. I did forget that we have Ole Miss coming up on the schedule on Tuesday of next week.
Yeah, we got the Governor's Cup.
Yeah, Governor's Cup, and then we host Auburn. After Alabama, so we're just going to clean out the state of Alabama in the span of 2 weeks.
I got a fun stat about Auburn.
What's that? Let me hear it.
Guess how many home runs they have compared to Brent Rooker as a team.
Their team total, I'm going to say, is 11.
They got 15, but Brent Rooker's got 16. So Brent Rooker is out hitting the whole team of Auburn in terms of power.
That's absurd.
Not a lot of pop. Geez.
Oh, wow. That's something. So we go Alabama, Auburn, and then A&M after two straight home series. Go to A&M and then to Athens. That's another three easy wins in Athens. Georgia's not a good baseball team this year.
Nah, they don't have the pitching to keep up with us. We're going to score like 12 a game off of them if we show up, if we aren't asleep during those games.
The biggest one is going to be closing out the season, a home series against LSU. That's going to be very telling in, as far as where the next 2 weeks are going to look like for us. As far as postseason play, including SEC tournament and regional play, hopefully, if we can keep this together.
Yeah.
We're really looking at, I'm not going to say we're national seeds. We're not going to make it that far. We didn't start off well enough. We needed more wins in the beginning of the season, but we're looking good to have a very nice season this season that no one was really quite expecting, I would say.
I wouldn't count out a national seed, but yeah, I think we're having a much better. Given all the injuries and the suspensions and all that, this is hats off to Cannizzaro. He's a great leader of men, as he's proven over the past few weeks. Just pulling this team together. I'm pretty sure we were talking about it. We were texting after what game did we Arkansas or something? No, we were texting in the middle of the Tennessee game that on Friday when we had to come from behind win.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah.
If Cannizzaro can pull the team together, it'll be a very good sign for the rest of the season. He completely pulled the team together. I mean, he's done a crazy good job with how many pitchers he's had out this year.
Yeah, Cannizzaro has blown past every bit of expectation I had for him in year one. Could not have asked for much better of a transition from him to from Cohen to him. So I'm really, really pleased with that. Now the next exciting part of Cannizzaro is going to see what is his recruiting going to be looking like.
Oh my God, it's going to be so good.
It's going to be fun for him to sell. If you can sell Rooker's numbers and claim, and they buy into you being responsible for any semblance of that, I don't think it's going to be hard at all. Yeah,
he's one of the best recruiters in the nation. He's. Like the thing I like best about him is because he did serve as a scout in the Yankees organization is he knows how to work the MLB draft from a college standpoint. So if he's talking to a high school kid, he knows the MLB side and the college side. So he can talk to the kid both sides. Like talk him out of the money. He can talk to him about how much he should have, like where he should go. What he will like, where you will get drafted after your 3 years here, and how much money you should expect then. So he's gonna be a brilliant recruiter, and that's gonna equal some banners and rings.
I'm really hoping so. I feel like not enough people are aware of the fact that he was actually a scout for the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, I feel like I didn't know it until a couple games into this season, even.
Yeah, that's where he got to start. Working in baseball after playing.
Didn't you tell me he drafted
Holder and Lindgren.
Yep, that's who it was. Yeah. So that's small world is the world of Diamond Dogs goes, at least.
Yeah, we're all connected.
Somehow. I think it was Graveman had a good quality start, and speaking of Diamond Dogs the other day.
You know how hard Graveman throws now? You remember how hard Graveman threw when he was at Mississippi State? Like 93?
Yeah.
Like 93 when he was at Mississippi State. He's throwing 98 now in the majors.
That it will never cease to amaze me, the just absurd velocity at which MLB pitchers can hurl a little white-laced ball.
It's crazy to think that somebody picked up 5 miles per hour to their fastball when they were 24 years old.
That also is a little absurd. How do you add that much strength to your arm at that point of your career?
He's a little guy. He's not a big guy. He's not bustling it up there.
Yeah, I don't understand it. Baseball is a nuts sport. See, that's why I talk about it and I don't play it. See, because I could never fathom hitting a 98 mile an hour fastball. I could never do that.
I've rarely seen them, and they go very fast. 98's pretty fast.
Yeah, disgusting. Sorry, we kind of fell into a little hole there, listeners. We're sorry. Jack was reminiscing about his days of playing baseball, and I was thinking about what could have been if I could have ever actually played baseball. Looking into doing the other half for SC Baseball Talk, looking into the Tuesday midweeks or even Wednesday in a couple cases, not really a whole lot of exciting games going on this week as the front of midweeks. State's taking a trip to Mobile to play South Alabama. That's a bummer. Always love going to the dude in the middle of the week. No $2 hot dogs this week, so that's upsetting. Memphis has that two-game series with Arkansas this week. That'll be kind of one to watch, see if they struggle against Memphis or not. And then Kentucky is playing Louisville again. So we'll see if they give them the shellacking that they did earlier this season. But Louisville is far and away, them and Oregon State, I would say, are really dominating the top of college baseball right now.
Yeah, Oregon State, they lost for the first time in like 20. I think they had won 20 in a row. They lost this weekend for the first time and then promptly won their next two. So they're back to their winning ways. They're a scary team. They got great pitching. I think they got like four guys up for the Golden Spikes Award, which is absurd. There's only like 30, and they have four of them.
That's too high, sir.
Yeah, that's enough out of you.
Yeah, you guys need to cool it up there in Corvallis, Oregon.
It just amazes me that like baseball has gotten so big in Corvallis, Oregon.
It's kind of wild that college baseball, growing up at least, it seemed that was almost exclusively a East Coast Southern thing, where you would see SEC teams, ACC teams, and then the occasional either Texas or way West Coast team. And now it seems like it's kind of just spreading all over. I saw West Virginia apparently is expected to have their first appearance in the top 25 this weekend.
Yeah, they won a series against TCU, and TCU was ranked third. Yeah, third, oh, wow. I believe.
So, oh, wow, good for the Mountaineers, my second favorite college team.
Yeah.
Yeah, little oddity about me. Yeah, my first college football game ever was actually not a Mississippi State football game. It was actually the Gator Bowl. I don't really actually know what it was, but it was I don't know what year it was, but it was Georgia Tech versus West Virginia, and I sat on the West Virginia side that day, and ever since, I've been a West Virginia fan.
That's solid. So, solid choice.
Yeah, fun little random story about me and my life. So that's where my love of the absurdity of Bobby Huggins and burning couches and everything else that is to love about that great trashy university up there.
I love it so much.
I would love to spend just a week as like just a student, not even as a visitor. I want to see what it's like to be a student at West Virginia.
I'm pretty sure a student and a visitor at West Virginia are the same thing. I think you do a pretty much the same thing.
I think you spend about the same amount of hours in class.
Yeah, you might go to more classes as a visitor, actually, than a student.
Yeah, they gotta make you think there's some classes there.
Yeah, let's go on a tour of these classrooms where we have our robots taking classes.
Yeah, we have animatronic students here taking our classes for us while we run amok and burn couches.
Lawless society that is our town.
Man, one day I'm gonna make it up to Morgantown and I'm gonna check it out for myself, but until then I'm just gonna fantasize.
Oh yeah, well
that about wraps it up for us on episode 5 to be announced. We promise to do our absolute best to be more regular than we have been over these last 2 weeks. Hopefully we don't have Jack flying 20 plus hours in the span of a few days for a long time, because that was less than a pleasant experience for that whole weekend. Yeah. So we'll be back again Thursday to let you know what happened with State and Mobile and what else happened around the SEC, and talk about what's coming up on this big weekend of SEC baseball, including hopefully what should be a sweep for Mississippi State against Alabama.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait.
We will check you out on Thursday. Thanks for listening.
Shout out, Delta.